Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
It is estimated that if we pass this bill alone, we'll create 7 million jobs this year.
7 million jobs this year, that's what the president says. Congressional Democrats are mostly united behind this almost $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill, but there's a lot of fights that are brewing on all kinds of things, from infrastructure, climate, and a couple of other things that are inside that bill. I think of it as cordon bleu. It tastes so good, but what's inside? And that's what even Democrats are saying. What other things are in there that are problematic and don't fit into this bill? And that's the problem for many of the Republicans who want to be able to play in the sandbox in a sense, but say they just can't do it. Not a lot of outdoor play happening in the U.S. in some parts because of the ice storms and sleet and snow and conditions that many people are facing in the Midwest, and in particularly lately in the Northeast, as that storm system that ripped through the South has moved up into that corner of the map. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us here on this show. So we're going to swing and sway in a couple of different directions. We started with President Biden there because this affects you and I in my backyard and yours, besides the pandemic, which this is part of that. We would be talking about what's happening? What's going on with your business? What's going on with your family? What's going on with your life? Are you getting the vaccine? What do you think about the stimulus? Do you need the stimulus? Are you unemployed? Are you worried about unemployment running out? That's how it affects us in the burbs and in the rural areas. In Washington, D.C., in the bubble that is D.C., it's about the maneuverings, the political two-step that has to happen for this bill to go all the way through and remain fluid. But this is a must-pass bill in obviously a divided Congress, where it's unleashed of all a torrent of other things, demands, pushing immigration is put in there, climate change, like I said, and that's always how it is. There's always competing demands that are in giant bills, especially one this size. So this is a week where people aren't on the Hill for the most part, and this is being fought kind of from afar. Moderate-leaning Dems might balk at spending trillions more on issues that are far from economic relief, and then in raising taxes to pay for what comes next. Because you know that, right? Nothing is for free. So this next bill is a big test for this new president as he moves from addressing what's immediately in everyone's face, the crisis of the pandemic, to bigger initiatives surrounding that. And the priority was to get this through. And now, I guess no matter what, with razor-thin Democratic majorities, is looking like how it's going to happen, because you're not going to get a lot of Republican buy-in to this one. That might have happened during the pandemic last March when it shocked all of us and everybody was suddenly home and the world turned upside down, but the bill wasn't that big. It wasn't almost $2 trillion. So now it's a little bit different. And you know, there's these efforts to look at infrastructure. And in the case of Trump, the former president, that was one of his pushes. He tried to push the infrastructure, but that never, ever got off the ground. For Biden, he's trying to really push for that broadband networks because of all the people staying home, which will still continue, by the way. The big chunk of the population, they're going to be doing remote work. Bridge, road repairs, technology that even on the lefter side that reduces greenhouse gases. So this is all part of what's in the middle of this. So on Wednesday, the president met with senior leadership of the AFL-CIO and other labor unions at the White House to talk about the relief package and the second recovery bill. Labor leaders have asked the president to approve as much as $4 trillion in new infrastructure spending, talking about the estimates they have and needs produced by the American Society of Civil Engineers. Because they're showing, here's what's going on, this is how bad it is, we're way behind the curve on this. So that was their push, their stress, what they were really, really lobbying for. So the White House now is having all these briefings with the new spokeswoman for this White House, Jen Psaki, who said that Biden's plan will make historic investments in infrastructure, in the auto industry, in transit, in the power sector, creating millions of good union jobs, and in the process addressing the climate crisis head on. And it's unclear when this package is going to officially be unveiled. Probably during the first appearance before a joint session of Congress, but there's no date that's been pushed on that, right? There's no date. And parts of this infrastructure package, possibly half of it, then you got to look at taxes. And where are the taxes going to come from? The people who don't want to be taxed, wealthy individuals and corporations. And that's going to be controversial, especially if we're in any kind of an economic rut. And you're going to get pushback from Republicans and the business lobby, and then it's going to be tied to, well, we're trying to rehire people, especially for big corporations. So this is dicey, and I think this is razor thin, goes through the Democrats and does not go through any kind of a bipartisan tunnel. I don't see that happening. The aim initially was for bipartisan cooperation, then this bill to be passed that way. But I don't see it with all the other stuff that has been put into this. I don't believe that this is going to go that way. For you, what does it mean? If you really need that stimulus and you qualify, you're going to get the stimulus. If you don't, and depending on where you are on the tax structure, I mean, ultimately, it could mean higher taxes. And then if you're in a business, it just depends, too, what your business, where you're at with your business, and how you'll be impacted by what happens here. And trust me, the Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, is all over this and waiting to see what does that ultimately mean. In the meanwhile, while this is going on, and there's a lot of foot traffic and conversation, but not so much on the Hill, like I said, it's a down week in the House, you have the conversation happening over COVID and the vaccine, and how come there are people that are not getting a vaccine? How come there are people that are saying, yeah, I'll pass, let somebody else do it, in the hopes that, hey, if you're going to have this herd immunity, cool, then I can be one of the people that doesn't take the vaccine. Like, thousands of service members are saying no. They're refusing to do it, or they're just putting it off. There is some conversation that could this be something that is forced upon people in corporations, etc., that they would have to take the shot. And do you think they would do that with service members? Army units are seeing as few as one-third agreeing to the vaccine. Navy sailors on ships heading out to sea, they were taking it 80%. Stay with us.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market and intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day. And our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Was no fan of Donald Trump in 2016, saying he wasn't a true conservative even after he eventually endorsed him.
Can somebody point to me the conservative on the ballot? What do you mean, Rush? Are you admitting Trump's not a conservative? Damn right I am. Who? Folks, when did I ever say that he was?
But Limbaugh became a staunch Trump supporter, and last year, Trump gave him the Presidential Medal of Freedom, awarding it during his State of the Union address.
Rush Limbaugh, thank you for your decades of tireless devotion to our country.
All right, thanks to ABC for that. That was heavily reported all over the place. And Rush Limbaugh, of course, announced in February 2020 he had been diagnosed with advanced cancer a day later. What you heard there, Trump awarded him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest honor a president can bestow on a civilian. Rush Limbaugh, for 30-plus years, developed a huge radio audience. He told listeners that he appreciated all the outpouring of love and affection he had gotten, and it was like anything he had ever dreamed of or experienced, but he didn't want to talk often about his treatments or his health, and he vowed to not let it take control of his life, that he had seen that happen to other people. It takes over your life, and I'm going to try to do whatever I can to not have that happen. But the lung cancer ultimately got him in the end. And it's interesting because he didn't start off with a close relationship with Donald Trump. He didn't think he was much of a conservative. And then they grew closer. He was elected. And they became friends and played golf together and that kind of stuff. So Limbaugh's wife, Catherine Rogers, took to the airwaves to announce what had happened to Rush and said that there would never be anyone like, pretty much in her words, there would never be anyone like Rush again. And that's probably true in a sense because of how he grew such a vast listening audience. And it's interesting because I know somebody that worked with him back in Sacramento, and that was the start of the Rush Limbaugh show. And that's when it really started to catch wind and took the airwaves by storm at conservative radio, certainly. And before that, he was trying to find a stable career in radio. He worked at a lot of different stations, including a top 40 DJ at one point. And then he finally found that right niche, that success. And once he became syndicated, the rest was history. You know, audiences of 13 million or more, and he quickly became the king of talk radio. And President Ronald Reagan dubbed him the number one voice for conservatism in the country. He even had a brief stint on TV. He hosted a talk show from 92 to 96. And he had maybe some personal setbacks that he eventually talked about sometimes on the air. He talked about that he had become addicted to pain medication after back surgery and whatnot. But he definitely, I think, had a niche that was one, like his wife said, that I don't know that you ever will see anyone have that kind of a niche again, like Rush Limbaugh, and especially the time that he started to grow that audience and just how big that audience had become. So rip to Rush Limbaugh at the age of 70 following a battle with cancer. You know, moving from Rush to something that he would probably be talking about on the air, I'm sure he would talk about it, would be what's happening with the power grid in Texas, because you have Rick Perry, for example, saying, hey, Texans, they'll freeze to death, basically, for 3 days because we don't want federal regulation because we're different. We broke away from the grid, and that's not what we want to see in Texas. So while others are also dealing with some power outages here and there because of the weather, you still have about a million or a little less now, from what I understand, without power because of the snow, the ice that really started on Valentine's Day on Sunday, where you at one point had more than 4 million people without power. I mean, without power, and people without water. So they were told to boil water, but then they had no water. You had pipes that were bursting. You had a Texas mayor telling the people in his town to fend for themselves during the power outage. Only the strong will survive. Only the strong is going to survive. You're only going to survive if you're strong. And that was Colorado City, Texas, because, you know, 24 hours, an Arctic blast, power across the state. They didn't have heat, electricity, below freezing temperatures. You got these heavy buckets of snow every time you need to flush your toilet. Can you imagine? And so they have these community Facebook groups where people would find out about warming shelters and wondering about other things and how could people do their jobs, et cetera, if they were in this situation. So you had people that wrote all kinds of things, including you had one thing that was written that said, one of the things that was written on the Facebook said, no one owes you or your family anything. I'm sick and tired of people looking for a damn handout. Wow. And then there was part of that that said, lazy residents have to find their own ways of procuring water and electricity. And so, of course, there was big backlash. And, of course, I'm talking about the mayor, Tim Boyd. So he announced his resignation and admitted he could have used better wording. Yes, when people have icicles coming down from the ceiling, that's not what you want to tell them. So he's now the former mayor of Colorado City, Texas, because he caught some heat of a different sort by saying things like, sink or swim, it's your choice. And, you know, listen, that's it. Sink or swim. Only the strong will survive and the weak will perish. Yikes. Yeah, he wasn't going to survive that, I don't think. There was just too much backlash over those comments, for sure. Because you had people that, again, had children. Now you're in the pandemic. You're trying to virtually school them. And how can you school them virtually when you are freezing? And even if you have blankets. But, you know, the smart thing that a lot of cities did, I can speak for my community, they had like five warming centers immediately, and we have a great mayor who said, what can we do? What do we do? We're in this pandemic. He's always the guy who's like, okay, let's move the ball forward. Let's not talk about what's awful and terrible. Let's move forward. And yes, let's find these places. Let's open them up. And they did. And people took advantage of that so that, hey, from whatever, 10 to 5 or for a couple of hours, there you can go. And, do whatever work you're doing and be warm and not be in a house where you look at the temperature and it's 23 degrees and you can see your breath and you're burning everything you can in a fireplace to just somehow survive and get warmth and not trying to give yourself carbon monoxide poisoning, because sadly that was a carryover of what happened for so, so many people. Because they didn't realize what they were doing and didn't realize that was happening to them. And like I said, in the middle of this, you have vaccine places that are shut down. We now have in this country 41.4 million vaccinated. So that's 34% of the prioritized population, 12.5% of the total population. And you have more people, by the way, also saying that they had COVID, and they talk about their experience, and then that scares the rest of the population as to whether or not that's going to make people who don't want to get vaccinated. I think it doesn't. I think there are people that don't trust it, don't want to do it, and the idea is if enough people, 80 to 90%, get vaccinated, it's okay because there will be, you know, herd immunity. And I mentioned that heading into this segment about the military, there were some people in the military that took the shots. The sailors that were at sea, they realized they're out there floating around 80 to 90%. But then there's others who don't want to do it because the struggle is with the message. How do you influence people to opt in for the vaccine? And that's what Brigadier General Edward Bailey, who's the surgeon for Armed Forces Command, is struggling with. I mean, some units, just 30% have agreed to take the vaccine. Wow. All right, coming up, we're talking to a music man who has quite a fan base. Hang with us.
Get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. Nearly 3 million homes in Texas remain without power as the state's power grid administrator is hoping to begin to get electricity back on Thursday. Many are also dealing with water shortages as residents were dripping faucets to keep pipes from freezing. But now water utilities say that pressure is low and water may now be unsafe to drink as the treatment plants have also been affected by power losses. Democratic Texas State Representative Eddie Morales tells CNN that some residents in his district have been without power for the last 3 days.
The water treatment plants don't have the electricity and they are now going on 72 hours in some areas that have not had power. This idea also of these rolling blackouts that are taking place, I'm sorry to say, but they're not taking place in House District 74 for a large part. And so you have certain subdivisions, certain areas of the community that have gone all 72 hours without electricity.
This is USA Radio News. In the wake of unprecedented winter storms, Texas's food supply could be in trouble. Val Dior has the story from the USA Radio News Texas Bureau.
The ice hasn't even begun to melt, but the damage is done, according to Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller. He says not only have record cold temps done damage to crops, but the power outages in Texas are wreaking havoc on farmers and ranchers that have to waste product, like milk, with dairy operations forced to dump millions of dollars worth of milk every day because the plants that process the milk don't have any power, and stores without electricity couldn't support it anyway. Sid Miller has issued a red alert asking Governor Greg Abbott to designate ag producers and processors as critical infrastructure that must be provided gas and electricity to continue operations, which should be prioritized, like hospitals and first responders, to provide critical food for Texans experiencing life-threatening conditions. From the Texas USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Val Dior.
This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
It's not too late. It's not too late.
Headline, the world-famous Wembley Stadium. I mentioned this before because, you know, I'm a numbers person. He performed to a crowd of more than 77,000 fans. I mean, his resume would blow you away with all kinds of eye-popping numbers and chart toppers. There's no question about that. And in January, he even launched his first ever podcast worldwide. I know we got tons of people listening to us in the UK. It's top 3 in the UK. And then it went to top 10 in 32 countries after only 3 episodes. And what's really exciting is the news that he's returning to pop rock music, and he's been working on his new album diligently for the last 6 months. Pretty exciting. And the people that are working on this with him, big names that have produced some incredible work in the past with some big name artists too as well. So without further ado, he's in our virtual green room. Matt Goss, thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, Kate. It's lovely to be. Thank you for having me.
So tell us, we had to dive right into this album first. What's that been like working on the album, and how excited are you for this to drop?
First of all, I'm excited about music being back in love with music, because at the beginning of COVID, I really found myself disengaged from music and more interested in the human condition. That's why I started my live Instagrams and actually connecting with my fans and their families in a different way. So I'm really happy to be back in love with music, but it took a good 6 months. I completely detached from music, but I think it's the album of my life and so far, and I'm super excited about it. I've gone back to commercial radio and commercial writing, so it's been, I'm very, very excited about it.
Yeah, and it's exciting, some of the people that have worked on this with you too. I mean, these are writers, co-writers, producers, mixers, etc., that have worked with the likes of Bruno Mars and Katy Perry and Madonna and U2. So, you know, that's all part of the mix, and you know that as an artist, and since you like to connect with people, what's it like to work with some of the biggest in the business?
I think it's so different to when I first started to write music. You used to be able to write a song that would be able to be 4 minutes long, 4.5 minutes long, and it went down to 3.5 minutes, and now we're at about 3 minutes a song. So the challenge for me is to actually be able to write a commercial record that I can live with lyrically, melodically, that actually connects with an emotional intelligence. So, you know, I've got to go out around the world and promote that. So for me, I want to write music that still moves you emotionally. So that's the challenge, to try and cram that story within to a 3-minute, 3:20 like universe. It's very, very difficult, but I've had a real good time doing it.
How do you know when you've nailed it? How do you know when hours and hours of working with other people, yourself, etc., and you have had to really, as you said, drill it down to a much shorter, you know, amount of minutes than you were comfortable with in the past? How do you know you nailed it?
I think first and foremost, you have to be prepared to undress your soul, emotionally be naked, and otherwise you can't expect your audience to come with you. If you don't tell the truth and you're not being honest about your life, and all the minutiae that goes into the intricacies of relationships and your life, then you can't expect the audience to come with you. So I think when you find a story and a melody that encapsulates the experience of what you're going through into contemporary melody and contemporary beats, I think it's just a feeling you have. I've had a few number one records in my day, and you have this certain feeling. Well, I do. I get a certain feeling when I'm at, that's a number one record. So I've had a few of those things. We have 10 songs on the album, and 9, I would be okay with any of those 9 being the first single.
Yeah. I mentioned about Wembley Stadium. What was that? Take us back to that feeling. I mean, you know this, Matt. People say all the time, like, oh, if you could be anything, what would it be? You know how many people say rock star, singer, crooner, have millions of adoring fans? And you have that. What was that like, that moment that you stepped on to the stage at that stadium?
There's a couple of moments that I call it the hit. So you come out and I'm an energy-based person, so I really enjoy people's energy. But when you come out and you get 77 people at simultaneously having that outburst of emotion, you feel this literal wave of energy hit you in your chest. It's an indescribable feeling. My saxophone player, I remember Jim, I looked at him and I kind of had to snap my fingers. I'm like, Jim, play the part, because his mouth was open. I'm like, you've got to play. And it was just a beautiful feeling. If anyone's listening, it's if you watch Bohemian Rhapsody, that's the venue when Freddie comes out. That's the venue that we played. And it was an incredible experience.
And you go from that to lots of other places that you've played, including Las Vegas, and you were just so popular on the Strip. I mean, 10 years. You don't get to do that if you're not at the top of the heap. You don't, because so many people want to play Vegas and want to be able to stay in Vegas and really plant. And you did that. You were even dubbed the new king of Las Vegas. What's it like to play Vegas?
I think that you have to, A, check your ego at the door, because the truth is about Vegas, it's probably the hardest city in the world to play, because there's simply so much choice. So the reality of coming out of, let's say, playing the Royal Albert Hall or Wembley, and then you come to Vegas, you know, one third of your audience has simply read a TripAdvisor review, and they're like, okay, entertain me. and it takes you back to that place where that's why you started, and hence you therefore start to learn your trade. I think Vegas taught me more about entertaining and the composure of entertaining than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, I bet. And I lived in Vegas, so I know what you're talking about. You're right. That's what happens. People are looking for something, and they're going to be there with their arms folded, waiting to see what you're going to do for them.
And sometimes wearing flip-flops, and if you do wear flip-flops to my show, I give you a hard time.
That's right. Really, shoes. Wear shoes, please. Hey, I want to mention...
Bro, why are you wearing flip-flops in my show?
I want to mention this because you talked about getting that connection during COVID, and you actually did something wonderful. You recorded a version of If I Ain't Got You, and that was produced by Babyface, and it was released as a fundraiser, and that, of course, resulted in like 50,000 meals being delivered to some key frontline workers. That had to feel good.
Right. I love, to be honest with you, thank you for mentioning that, but I do love philanthropic work. I wrote the national anthem for Susan G. Komen. I lost my mother to cancer, and I'm an honorary captain in the American Army. I do a lot of work for the military, and also I just feel more alive when I have purpose. And during COVID, I just wanted, because I couldn't get my hands dirty and get in there, I just, one of the things that I was hearing, that they just needed food. So we did, we raised with Burger Bites, we helped raise enough money to create enough money for 50,000 meals. And it just gives me purpose and makes me feel like I'm doing more than just singing and entertaining.
So I mentioned your podcast and that it just, you know, top three in the UK, and that was only three episodes, top 10 in 32 countries. And we have people, thousands of people listening to us, by the way, in the UK.
Yeah, I'm trying to be like you, Kate.
I need the accent, though. You have to teach me the accent. But, I mean, seriously, I love the Brits, and the feeling is mutual. So tell me about the podcast.
The podcast really came from a place when I was doing Instagram lives. I would go on my Instagram, which is just my name, Matt Goss, follow me on Instagram, and I would just call four or five people, whether you were fans of mine or not fans of myself, and just I would have a conversation with you. And there was fellas going through depression and mental health issues, and then I really got connected to it. I ended up having 300 guests, over 150 lives. And then so I said, you know, I want to keep this going. So I started my podcast, and we had the former Secretary of Homeland Security from the White House on. We had an incredible conversation with Kate Dalton, also a man called Larry Ruvo that is a philanthropist and has built a $16 billion business here in Vegas called Southern Wine, Glazier and Spirits. It's a very profound perspective. And my next guest, which is on Monday, he actually built the Center of Compassion in Stanford University. He's an incredibly interesting human being, and the chief benefactor is His Holiness Dalai Lama. So it's just a way that I can dig into the human condition and also play a song at the end of it, but just mainly conversation. A good interview should really be a conversation.
Oh, I so agree. It is about the conversation. And this has been a great conversation. We can't wait for the album to drop. When is that going to happen?
The plan is late March, early April, but we are about to do the first video and choose the first single and all that fun stuff. So, you know, it's very exciting. But come and join me on my podcast as well. It'd be nice to have you listen to what we're doing and join us in the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And we want to tell everyone again, it's easy. It's just your name. Go look it up. Jump on that podcast. Terrific guests that you named. And you're really reaching a lot of people with your music and what you're doing with your podcast, too. Matt, it was really a pleasure to meet you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
And thank you for having me. And God bless to all your listeners.
Absolutely. There's Matt Goss. And we're going to let him play us out. Hi, this is
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits of some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Here we are once again in the Man Cave, a.k.a. Woe Man Cave as well. And in the sports world, a lot of conversation about a fat baseball salary. We're going to talk about it, a couple of them actually, in a minute. But first, because this is breaking news from Australia, American tennis player Serena Williams in the semifinals has gone down at the hands of Naomi Osaka, 6-3, 6-4. Serena Williams got it to 4-4 in that second set, but she just could not turn the corner, and Osaka played just incredibly well with some amazing backhand winners and some excellent shots and incredible serves, too, as well, that I think served her well. So that's it for Serena Williams' run at the Aussie Open and run at another world title. All right, salaries and big salaries always raise eyebrows for better or for worse, because I'm a capitalist. I think when you look at a baseball player, a basketball player, or whoever it is, male, female, whatever, if they have the right agents and if the team is willing to pay, hey, what the market bears is what the market bears. But you want to talk about the market bearing some big bucks, and you want to talk about an extension. How about this? San Diego Padres, Fernando Tatis Jr., agrees on a 14-year, $340 million contract extension. Yes, when I saw the, I mean, that's the true number. That's what I'm saying. Yes, when I saw the 340, I thought,
wow, maybe I need my glasses. I have good eyesight usually, but I just want to make sure this is right. And, of course, he's an incredible player. He's young, 22, and it's one of the largest guarantees, period, in American sports history. So now he's wedded to this team, for better or worse, for these years. He's only 22, like I said. It's the third biggest deal in baseball history. So if we went around the horn, what do you think? I have a feeling some of you would be thumbs up and some would argue. Because then you argue, are the Padres going to win some titles? Is he that good of a player? And you look at Mike Trout, you look at Mookie Betts, both of them signed mega deals, but they were 27 years old. But here's the upside. I think there's the upside of him being young and the fact that he's an incredible shortstop. And then he's got the offensive numbers at the plate. And now he is the player who the Padres obviously are going to build the team around to win the championship. And then you could come to the argument of, well, in baseball especially, right, you're looking for a team, so building a team around one player. But we've seen that happen before. I think it depends on the mix of good veteran players, younger players coming up, and just plugged in the right positions to work well with Tatis. And obviously, Tatis likes the team. The Padres wanted to keep him. They wanted to lock him up, so they locked him into an incredible deal. $340. Let me just give you a couple of details on this. $200 million more than Trout's first contract extension. That's one thing. The second Trout extension hit a domestic sports record. That was $426.5 million guaranteed. And Mookie Betts, $392 million. Is now followed by Tatis' contract, right? And Tatis joins Manny Machado, who plays third base next to him with the Padres, $300 million-plus deals. And, you know, so they kind of join another duo. I was just reading this today and comparing it myself. Another duo that reminds me of Machado and Tatis is Gerrit Cole and Giancarlo Stanton, who are teammates for the Yankees, and they have really super, super big contracts. And again, if this was wide open and we were sitting here talking about this, I think some of you would say, oh, that's ridiculous. And others would say, no, I mean, championships will bring in money, fans, etc. And the Padres believe he is the guy to do that. He's the guy who sells the merch. He's the guy who people want to see. And, you know, Machado also is another very, very popular player. All right, let's turn to the NFL. And speaking of deals, the Pittsburgh Steelers, it looked like, boy, they felt really good about their chances in the AFC. And, of course, that was squashed thanks to the Bills. But Ben Roethlisberger is the quarterback of the Steelers right now. And they're now assessing positions, right? Last month, Art Rooney II told reporters that the soon-to-be 39-year-old quarterback's $41.2 million cap hit for the 2021 season was something they couldn't swallow. And then later that same day, Roethlisberger told The Athletic he was willing to work with the team and said he didn't care about his pay at all this year, right? So he's saying he wasn't worried about it. Now it's kind of murky as they try to figure this out. If Roethlisberger retires or is cut, he would still count $22.25 million against the cap. If the team gives him an extension and converts that base salary and roster bonus into a signing bonus, oh, my head's dizzy, it spreads out over multiple years. Wouldn't it be nice to have a contract like that where you're trying to figure this out? So anyway, it's not likely Roethlisberger could opt to play for the minimum and take a pay cut of more than $17 million, but his cap hit would still be $23 million. Now, with COVID-19, you know, that's expected to lower the salary cap. It can't drop below $175 million, though. So the Steelers are firm in what they know, that they're in cap trouble when they look at their roster. And I think that puts this all up for grabs, figuring out this Roethlisberger situation and re-signing of any of the – they've got 19 unrestricted free agents. So Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver star, he's another one with the cap constraints. What are they going to do there? So I don't know. Roethlisberger is that guy that's the team, though, and he's a popular player. And it sounds like he wants to stay and that he wants to make that happen. But making it
you know, saying you want to do that and making it happen, you know, those are two interesting things to deal with. I think there's going to be a lot of conversation about that. Let's put it that way. Definitely. Definitely. All right, so let's move on to this story that's just crazy, but not crazy. Because I traveled at one point in my career, you know, I've said this before, I'm a content junkie, and I've been a news anchor and talk show host, and I love being here on this show, and I've done it for now 15 years, 10 on this network. And I used to fly with the Dallas Cowboys. And when I say I flew with them, I was the sports director, and I had a talk show, a sports talk show in a huge market, obviously Dallas. And I did that in New York too. And so I got to, you know, get to know some of the players and what it was like traveling with them. And they always looked to me, they were, so many of them had incredible clothes, right? Because a lot of companies wanted to outfit them, or they just, that was their thing. And so Cam Newton is one of those guys. But recently, the New England Patriots quarterback did reveal when he was talking about clothes, because people were asking about his clothes, and he had said he had this New Year's resolution not to buy the high fashion stuff that he buys. He said he wants to be more of a thrift store shopper. Can you imagine being in a thrift store? Hey, look, hey, there's Cam. Hey, Cam, look, we got some shirts over here. They're like, you know, $15 or so. He said he wants to be a vintage shopper. He wants to be a person that finds gems, blah, blah, blah. Is he setting us up for something that he's going to do? But this was the thing that caught my eye, and why would I even bring this up in the man cave? Is because he spent millions, 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 millions of dollars on clothes. Okay, so he has the money. But he said what he realized is when he was looking at his clothing is that most of the clothes that he had, he wore like once. So he spent millions on clothes, but he's worn them once. So you know what I say? You donate those clothes. And imagine you pick up some of the things, some of the threads that he had, and they've hardly been worn. So I don't know what he did with those clothes, if he sent them out to buddies or whatever. But, boy, there would be a great donation, wouldn't it? You know, when you go to some of those stores, like even the Salvation Army stores, sometimes depending on the high-end areas, they get good clothing and things in there. And I always think that's great because people can get, like, a steal of a deal that he's talking about being that person that gets the deal. So I don't know if he donated millions of dollars of clothes somewhere in the New England area or if he did it in Carolina, but it was pretty interesting, I think, to hear him say that. I'm going to throw this in for grins because we do have some finals in the NBA, if you care about the NBA. How about the Celts and the Hawks? They went at it, and the Hawks actually pulled away 122-114. The Magic trying to make some sort of magic happen for them. They've had a kind of beginning start to their season, 107-89 over the New York Knicks. The Knicks are always hapless, aren't they? The Knicks, though, are 14-16 so far on the season. Yeah. And the Bulls, 105-102. Over the Pistons. I know we have a lot of Grizzly fans in the audience. Grizzly and Oklahoma City Thunder fans. Grizzlies took that one 122-113. And that's a wrap. We're closing the man cave up and we're wrapping up this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
We were at a party. And here's our fella to be.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.